Good morning, Faith family. Thank you for joining me today as we seek to worship the Lord by video. And also join with me today as we can say that we're going to get to meet next week. And it will not be by video. I'm so excited about the possibility of being able to meet with you and gather with you here on site and worship. And so please be praying for that worship service. We are looking forward to it. As Brother Trey said, I put out a video and even a letter that's on our webpage and social media. You can go check that out. I will also put out another video on for our midweek Bible study, trying to answer some questions and different things for you. But I am looking forward to it. This has been a long time coming, and I pray you're as excited as I am and as Brother Trey is. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, please take them and turn with me this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, as we are entering into our third week on spiritual disciplines. How can we grow spiritually? And so as we said, this has been a unique time for you and I, not able to gather with the faith family, not able to take in the spiritual nourishment from the preaching of the word, congregational singing, and so forth. And so what do we do? And so we've really been just kind of diving into the means of grace by which God uses to grow us spiritually. 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Or in that word, discipline means to train, to exercise, to practice, okay? And so far we've seen the walking in the Word, which is a daily engagement with the Word of God. And then we saw last week the exercise of prayer. Now today I want to preach on a discipline that some of those watching this morning may have never heard of. It was later in life that I heard of this discipline. For those who are active members of FBC, you've heard me talk about this before. And so today we're actually going to get to dive into it. And I'm so very thankful for that. I want to preach this morning on the discipline of the practice of family worship. The practice of family worship. And I want to do this by looking at Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. So if you would, let's read together. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the rivers in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And may God bless the reading and the preaching of His word this morning. I want to talk to you on the practice of family worship. I think that we can all agree that regular physical exercise is profitable for the body, that regular physical activity can lower the risk of any health problems, increase one's chances for a good night's sleep, can maybe even increase one's chances to live longer, decrease depression, and yes, even decrease one's waistline. There is no doubt on this that physical exercise is good for the body. Now, our discipline that we are looking at today is not only good for the individual, it's actually good for the whole household. That's the beauty of this one, this discipline. It's not just a discipline that is profitable for me and just me alone, but this discipline is profitable for my spouse, for my children, or even my grandparents or my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, whoever may join in this discipline will find that it will benefit them. And according to John Agner, the more we worship God in secret, the fitter shall we be the family worship. And the more we worship God in our families, the fitter shall we be for public worship. C.H. Spurgeon said it this way: "Let families be trained in the fear of God, and be yourselves holiness unto the Lord. So shall you stand like a rock amid the surging waves of error and ungodliness which rage around us." Beloved, that's what we want. That's what this is about, this whole series, and that's what the spiritual disciplines are about. That you and I would be spiritually strong and spiritually unmoving. And to discover and examine this discipline, I've chosen this text, Joshua 24. This is the last chapter of the book of an amazing story of Israel's conquest in the land of Canaan. God has fulfilled the promise that he made to Abraham so long ago. And now Joshua, toward the end of his life, he gathers the people together after they have started to find rest. And he recounts the faithfulness in verses 1 through 13 of God to the people of Israel. And then he exhorts the nation of Israel, there in verses 14 and 15, to renew their commitment, to renew their covenant with God, that they, the people of God, would live faithfully for him in the promised land. Now, like us, they are being encouraged to worship and serve the Lord. Like us, they are being encouraged to live faithfully in this world. But notice what Joshua says here. He says, as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. This is interesting. The call to faithfulness, the call to spiritual maturity and the worship of our Lord is not just a call to the individual. Joshua says, me and my house. Beloved, it's not just about me, it's about my family as well. Not just the individual, not just private worship. In the Old Testament, even after the tabernacle and the temple were built, groups of believers did not gather weekly to worship as sometimes we often assume. And so where did the weekly worship, where did the weekly services take place? Well, they took place in the home. Faithful worship and service of the Lord took place right there in the household. And so here we have Joshua who's coming forth, and Joshua is calling the people, the very core of his call, to live faithfully, not just you, but your household. I want to verify this, if you will allow me to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we just looked at this on Wednesday. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to go back to this back and forth throughout the sermon. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, before they cross over into the promised land, Moses stands before the people and he begins to preach to them. And here in chapter 6 is the very beginning of this first sermon that he's going to preach. And it's quite interesting because he's calling the people to hear and to listen. And I want you to see what he says. This is a very important in the Jewish culture. It's called the Shema. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. And notice this, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Here we have Moses preaching to the Israelites before they cross in the promised land. And he is urging them to be faithful unto the Lord. And where is this faithfulness to be taking place at? In the household. The worship of the Lord and the service of the Lord is there at in the very house of the father, mother, the children. Beloved, we could go all the way back to even Genesis chapter 18 where God has just sat down and had a meal with Abraham. And God says there in chapter 18 that he chose Abraham that he may command his children, he may teach his children, he may teach his descendants. All the way back to the very beginning, God intended family worship for his people. That God would be worshiped daily in the household of those he has covenanted with. Beloved, what better discipline can a Christian practice when the local church can't meet? And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Brown, we're going to start meeting next week. And so is this even necessary? Beloved, for those whose love and desire is in Christ, those who have been saved, our love and desire cannot be satisfied. It should not be satisfied with but one or two weekly gatherings. We should desire to worship the Lord daily. And so here we find that this practice takes place in the home. And so I want us to look at this, if you will. I want us to look at what is the practice why should we practice, and how I can practice family worship. Notice with me the definition of this, or the contents of it, if you will. All right, to practice something means that you and I seek to perform or work at a repeatedly so as to become proficient. Worship is the act of expressing reverence. So therefore, the family would be, this would be a repeated act of the family in showing honor and adoration to the Lord. All right? Similar to a basketball team or a baseball team, you know, a team sport where that involves frequent meeting of the family members to worship the Lord together. They come together, they practice, they're together. You know, this is not an individual thing, but this is something they do, you know, united in this. Okay, that's what this is about. A family gathering together that they may show reverence and adoration and honor to the Lord. Now, notice what we see here in verse 14. It says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the rivers and in Egypt. Now, the word fear points to showing and having reverence and adoration to the Lord. This is giving honor to God. So serving here then indicates a submission to God, God alone, right? We serve one master, not two. And so we serve him and we put away the pagan gods. And so this is what he's calling them to. And then notice he says to do it with sincerity and in truth. Sincerity meaning to be complete, to be whole. Truth meaning faithful and unwavering. So when you really begin to kind of break this down and look at it and kind of let it unfold and then put it back together and understand it, what we're finding here is our worship is to be complete and faithful to God alone. Family worship is to be complete and faithful to God alone. Does that sound familiar? Where have we heard that? Well, we heard it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. We also hear this in the Gospels where Jesus is asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The discipline requires that the members of the household together, that they may show love and reverence to the Lord and faithfulness to him and him alone. That within our household, there are no other gods. He is our God. Now, what are the contents of this? What does this look like when we... So if this is the daily, the repeated, you know, gathering of the family to spend time making much of our Lord, what does it look like? Well, in all honesty, we've already looked at some of this in the previous 2 weeks. We've actually have already seen this. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about that one spiritual discipline was the walking in the Word. Again, there in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord says that Abraham is to teach his children, to teach his descendants. And so we see that the Word is to be taught, is to be engaged in this time of family gathering. Joshua 1:8 tells us that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. If walking in the Word is important for you, and it is important for me, then shouldn't it be important for my family? Shouldn't the daily engagement of our family walk in the Word? And so here we find, beloved, I would say that one of the most important things that you can do in being faithful to the Lord in family worship, one of the practices that you can embrace is that you and your family would sit down and read the Word of God, memorize Scripture, meditate on it. Focus on reading. Let that be your first priority, but focus on the reading of the Word together. I would even say, secondly, it then would involve the exercise of prayer, that you would do this together, that you and your family would sit down, and in the faithfulness and in the love of the Lord, you would begin to pray. You would have a time of prayer, praise and thanksgiving and supplication for one another, for your family, for your church, for your community, for those who are hurting during a pandemic. We can have prayer service in our own homes. So take a few moments to gather together and begin praying with your family. But also I would encourage, because we see this encouraged in the Scriptures, that you and I would also give praise and song. And this is hard. I know this is difficult. This is where some of you are already checking out. You're going, oh, wait, I'm not a good singer. Listen, I am not a good singer. It is actually videoed, and there's evidence of this. One of our children, when she was a child, when she was a baby, I would sing to her. And it has been videoed and documented that every time I would open my mouth to sing, she would start crying. And when I quit, she stopped. And I would sing again, and she would cry. And then I'd quit, and she would stop. This part can be hard for those of us who are not very good singers. And so what do we do? Well, maybe just listen to a recording, maybe read a psalm, but eventually you will begin to work your way in to the praise of our Lord in song, whether it be through hymn, whether it be through a psalm or a worship song. Beloved, we spend time. And these are just the three main elements. We can talk about others, but mainly these three main elements that we see is what kind of makes up this family worship of showing reverence and honor to the Lord and faithfulness to Him and to Him alone in our household. I love what Matthew Henry says here. They that pray in the family do well, and they that pray and read the scriptures do better, but they that pray and read and sing do best of all. Christian, can I encourage you today to reclaim this lost discipline? Again, you may have never even heard of this, and I understand that. This is not something that is preached in our churches. It is not something that we hear about. It's not something that we are taught. It is a lost discipline, a forgotten one. And I understand that it may seem rather difficult in the business of our lives. And if that's your excuse, if you say, well, Brother Ryan, I really am too busy to really do this, then, beloved, you're just too busy, as we talked about a few weeks ago. Please repent of that. You're too busy. If you're too busy to engage with your family in the worship of our Lord, then there are things in your life, these pagan gods that we see here in Joshua, that you need to rid yourself of. May I encourage you, Christian, to go and learn of family worship? There are great, wonderful resources out there, and I even have one here with me, Family Worship by Donald Whitney, and I'm going to put some others on Facebook, and there are just some wonderful resources here that will help you in that. There are things all online. Go and learn. Seek this out. For those of you who are hungry, you say, I'm hungry, Brother Brian, you know, give me something to do. Family worship, beloved, will begin to satisfy that hunger. And then maybe you say this. You say, Brother Brian, I'm single. You say, I'm a widow or a widower. And so there's no one in my house for me to do this with. And you say, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of being left out of this. Then hear me on this. And this is where I believe that our faith family really can just love on you and help you in this. And I would encourage family members to seek this out. But here's the thing. Seek to spend time with your grandkids, with your moms, your dads, you know, seek to spend a time of worship, whether it be once, twice, a month, with those that are outside your home but are family. Or even better, if you don't have blood family, then seek to do this with your faith family, to gather together in your home or in their home and spend some time, just a few moments, in the reading of the word and praying and maybe even singing. Gather with your faith family. Gather with your neighbors. Beloved, there are those that you can gather with. And I believe that this will become a sweet, wonderful delight of yours. I want to move now to the second question. Why should I practice family worship? Why should we embrace this discipline? Well, I want you to notice there in verse 14. Notice that Joshua says, therefore. So the whole thing is, you know, the whole cliche is, well, why is it therefore? He says, therefore, the call for the families of Israel to worship the Lord comes out of the previous 13 verses. The call to be faithful within your family, to commit yourself to this, comes out of the previous 13 verses. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but let's just begin here. Notice what he does. Joshua begins to recount what's going on. Just look in verse 1. It says, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And notice what Joshua does. He says, to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the rivers, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And then notice verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. Let me just stop there because that's the very main theme of this. Joshua goes back to Abraham and he says, what did God do to Abraham? But God saved Abraham. God pulled Abraham out of pagan worship. Well, he continues on in the rest of those verses, and he says, not only that, God then pulled out Moses and our ancestors out of Israel, our fathers out of slavery from Egypt. He pulled us out of, he saved us from Balaam. He saved us from the Canaanite enemies. All in these 13 verses, Joshua is pointing and he's saying, do you remember that God delivered and God saved? Why should the families of Israel meet and worship and be faithful within their homes? Out of the grace of salvation. Out of God's gracious salvation of their lives. Joshua is not pointing back to Abraham and going, do you remember how great he was and how wonderful he was and how strong he was? No, no, no. He's saying, do you remember how lost he was? How much of a pagan our father was? How much of a pagan we were and how we were in chains and God saved us. God pulled us out and delivered us. And out of that gratitude and out of that transformed life, that deliverance, comes a faithfulness, comes a worship of the Lord that is not only once or twice a week or a couple times a month, but daily in the home. Beloved, this is our story. This is your story. Look with me here in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what Paul writes here in Ephesians. Look with me here. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. Do you see this? This is our story, just as it is the story of Israel. God has delivered us. And so here's the thing. The gospel, beloved, motivates and compels and strengthens the worship of the family. Our worship comes out of a gratitude and expression of the God because of the gospel's work in us. The good news of Jesus Christ, that we who were sinners, that we who were like the Israelites, who were in chains, that we who were spiritually dead in our sins, waiting on the judgment of God to come upon us, that God would send his son, Jesus, who would live an innocent life. And instead of reaping the reward of innocence, he would then willingly lay his life down and receive the just punishment that we deserved. Take all our sins, all our guilt, all our shame. And in return, in his death, gives us his righteousness and delivers us. By his death on the cross and his victory from the grave and resurrection, beloved, he saves us. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. And beloved, I would say this, maybe you're not of our church. Maybe this is your first time, hearing this. Oh, beloved, Christ died for you. Christ rose for you. Christ can save you and transform you and set you free. And that freedom will then compel you and motivate you into a life of faithfulness for him. Call upon Christ. Seek him by calling the church office, going to our church website, emailing us at fbcjonesboro.net. sink this out. But I would say again to the believer, our worship within our homes comes out of the overflow of the transformation that takes place because of the work of salvation. Our worship, whether on Sunday or every day, is motivated and compelled by the glory and the power of the gospel. Do you want this for yourself and your family? And maybe you're saying, you know, I want to be committed to this discipline, Brother Brian. I want to do this discipline. Then can I just encourage you to do something? You cannot look to strong arm your family into doing this. You cannot look to strong arm your family and yourself into doing this. Believe me, it's difficult. It's hard. Literally, I took a picture of one of my children last night as we were doing this, and they were upside down on the couch. One of them was dancing in the middle of the thing. It's sometimes it's so chaotic and we get frustrated. We're going to strong arm ourselves into this. We can't do it, beloved. And so therefore, we must not forget the gospel. Turn to the gospel. Joshua reminded the people of God's salvation in order that they may be motivated to commit themselves to faithfulness. We ourselves must turn to the gospel and let the power of the gospel bring this out of us. And so therefore, I would call upon you to pray that God would create a love and an appreciation for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only within you, but within your family. I would look to begin to find times to share the gospel and teach the gospel and just talk about the gospel within your family, just not in planned times, but while you're driving or while you're taking someone to Walmart or whatever. Find times to talk about the gospel that it may begin to soak in and seek to be an example of the gospel's transforming power before your family. But I will give you even a second reason why this is important or why we should do this. And that is because of generational faithfulness. Notice that Joshua is saying, I will serve the Lord and my household will serve the Lord. So it's not just him, it's those who are going to come up after him, his children and their children. Joshua isn't just calling for those in the assembly to be faithful. He's calling for all generations to come to be faithful. They're going to set up a rock of remembrance. They're going to sign the book that generations will remember that we are to be faithful to the Lord within our homes. To encourage these future generations, beloved, he says to them, put away their gods, love the Lord, fear him, him and him alone. Where would the knowledge of this come from? Where would the knowledge of this covenant be passed down from but in the home? Again, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Households committed to the worship of God were committed to the passing of their faith down to their children and to their children's children, and so forth. Family worship fulfills the Great Commission. One of the things that has bothered me about the evangelical world, about our own convention and everything, is that we preach evangelism to everyone else. We encourage everybody, all the people who are part of the Southern Baptist community, we preach that you go and tell people about Jesus, but we never encourage to do that very act within our own home and with our children. We are called to evangelize our children and to disciple them. What better way to fulfill the Great Commission? What better way to fulfill discipleship? What better way to fulfill the Great Commandment to love one another, beloved, than the very act of family worship? And think about it. You don't have to go across the world. You get to do this right there in your home, right there under your very roof. And I would just say, thirdly, just for the sake of encouragement, I would even give you this, that there are practical reasons for this. Developing a greater loving relationship within the home, between the children, between you and the children, between you and your spouse, creating a better marriage. Oh, how sad that so many Christians marry, the, Christians who are married are just struggling. And yet the act of reading the Word and praying together can do so much for your marriage. How about knowing and helping one another with your struggles? As a pastor, one of the heartbreaking things that I see is when parents will come and they'll say, I had no idea my child was doing this or dealing with this, or my husband or my wife was struggling with this. In family worship, we get to talk and discuss and know one another's struggles and help them with that. And I would even say spending quality time with your children so you don't feel guilty when they grow up because they grew up too fast and you didn't get any time with them. We all have those moments. I had it again this week where I looked at one of my children and I told Melanie, I said, well, it happened. And she always knows what I'm talking about, because it's that moment where you look at them and you realize they've gotten older. They don't look the same as they did. There's a bit of confidence in them. There's something, but it's just that moment where you realize they've gotten older and time is passing by. And here we get to spend time with them. There are no lack of reasons, beloved, why the Christian should not want and desire to practice this discipline. You say, okay, Brother Brian, all this is good. And you say, I want to do this, but how? How do I practice this discipline of family worship? Well, there are some things here that Joshua mentions that I think will help you, that are here within the text. And I'm actually going to do it in reverse order, because I think reverse order is going to be more beneficial and helpful for you and me. But notice there are several things that Joshua mentions. Notice verse 19 and verse 20. Joshua has called the people to commit themselves to the Lord, and they say, we're going to do it. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord. And then Joshua said this in verse 19. He said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, and he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. Well, you hate that sermon, right? Commit yourself to the Lord. We'll commit ourselves. Well, you can't do it. I think Joshua's being smart here, though. I truly believe that Joshua, that he's saying this because he understands the human nature, and that Joshua understands the weakness of the flesh. And we talked about this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We talked about this very thing last week. And so Joshua understands the inability of the people to be faithful even there in their old home. So what does he do? He reminds them of that, pushing them to what? Pushing them to look to the help of God. He's pushing them to look to God's strength and the work of the Spirit within them to do this very discipline. No team sport has the attitude that they are so good that they don't need to practice, that they're so good that they don't ever have to practice to win a championship. This is the same attitude, beloved, we should have. We should understand that you know what? We can't do this in our own strength. As I said, family worship can be messy at times. It can be hard. It can be difficult. And being faithful day in and day out, and not just meaning being legalistic and doing it day in, day out, but just being consistent with it, can be rather challenging. And so Joshua sees this, he understands this, and so what does he do? He says, you need to look to Christ, you need to look to the Lord and seek his strength. Believe me, beloved, if this is a conviction of yours and you don't know where to begin, call out to him in prayer. Seek him within the scriptures. Look for his help. Patiently begin to let him transform and work this within you. He will work it from the inside out through his power and through his strength. This is a discipline that you and I, as all disciplines, we must rely upon the work of the Spirit in us. But also, I believe we must lead by example. Look at verse 15. He says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Notice he says there, and keep going. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice he leads by example. Notice there in verse 15, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He doesn't say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. And he doesn't say, my house will serve the Lord. He says, me first, then my house. The worship that is going to take place in our family must be brought about through the leadership of the family. Men, most certainly you, but hear me, adults, parents, by you setting the example for the children, by men, you setting the example for your wife. Our family members will not join in the reading of the scripture. They will not join in the exercise of prayer. They will not join in the songs of praise. They will not join in this time of adoration and love and reverence of God if we're not doing this privately. If this is not flowing out of a private life of worship, this is not going to happen in the family. And so we must lead by example. We must seek this. And so Joshua is committing himself. He said, I'm committing myself to the faithfulness of the Lord, and I'm committing my family to it. I'm going to lead them to do this. So we must lead by examples. And I would call upon you to learn how to do that. And you say, well, man, that's got to be hard. There's probably, beloved, again, go back to the last point, a recognition that you need Christ, a recognition of his grace, of need of his grace and his mercy. There's your first step. Learn family worship from resources that we can give you at the church and other places. Read a chapter the day before. Get a commentary. You know, just take the initiative. And begin leading them by example. As I heard one man say, just be one day ahead. Be one day ahead. But beloved, if we're going to do this, then we must be doing this in our own lives. Walking in the Word, exercise of prayer, worshiping Christ and Him and Him alone. I would say thirdly, we must start today. Look again, verse 15. He says, if this is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Notice that Joshua doesn't give them time to think about this. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to let you come back next week or so. No. He says, choose today. You are either going to serve God or you're going to serve the idols of this land or the ones of your forefathers. Choose today. Like so many other things in life, beloved, we say we're going to do it, but we're going to do it later. I'll take the trash out later. And then we never do it. Like so many things, the practice of family worship is something that if we put on the back burner, it will always stay on the back burner. And so Joshua looks to the people and he is encouraging them, choose today to worship the Lord in your home. Choose today to be faithful. Take the initiative. The practice of family worship is not something that the Christian needs to put off any longer. But practice it now. Now, please understand that's going to look different from all of us, okay? Starting today will look differently for each family and each person. So hear me on this. For some of you, starting today is going to be preparing yourself and leading an example. It's going to be praying to start this. It is. It's going to be praying. Maybe just you and your spouse or you and your children begin praying about it. You know, just begin to seek to learn how to do it. Begin calling on God to give you the conviction. Calling on God to give you the strength and the wisdom on this. For some of you who may be single or, again, a widow or a widower, and you're by yourself, and I would so love if our faith family would call you. But it may be that you seek out to do this with your extended family and say, I want to invite my children, I want to invite my grandkids, I want to invite my mom and dad, I want to invite them into my home once a week, once a month, and tell them, I just want to spend some time with you making much of the Lord and reading of the Scripture. Have dinner, spend time at the table with them. Maybe starting today for you is having a discussion with your spouse. And some of you spouses need to do this. Begin talking and saying, this is going to be hard and it's not going to be perfect. We don't know what we're doing. We understand that. And there's your reliance right there. We're relying on the Lord. Husband and wife, relying on Christ. Just begin having that discussion. For some of you, it'll be making a plan. For all of us, it needs to be making a plan. You know, we should do this when we're out and about, spontaneous, but we must set a time, we must set a place, we must have a plan of what we're going to read, how we're going to pray. Keep it simple, keep it short. It doesn't have to be some big, great thing. Simple and short, but plan. And for some of you, it means get started today. You've been convicted about it. You've heard about it. We've talked about it. Here at this very church, we have preached on it. We have mentioned it. And you are being led to do this. Do it today. What a blessing you have had for the last 7 to 8 weeks. You have gathered with your family to watch the preaching of the Word. You've gathered in your pajamas and you've worshiped there in your home and you've been quarantined. What better way to spend time than spending time in worship with those you love the most? But fourthly, you must get rid of the gods. And by that I mean God's little g. Look at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Numerous times Joshua says this. Put away your idols. This has been a problem for Abraham's family for so long. All the way back in Genesis chapter 31, where Rachel takes her father's idols, where she's leaving with Jacob, and so she takes the pagan idols of her father with her. She's part of God's family now. And what is she doing? She's bringing them with her. By the time you get to Joshua 24, countless generations have passed, and they're still holding on to those gods. Are we any better? Are you any better? How many gods are in your home? How many gods do you give your time and your energy and your money and your love and adoration to, and never spend time with the Lord in your home? You give God Sunday morning at church. Put away your gods. Put away your gods, beloved. Every day, young adults leave home with the gods of self-fulfillment, money, leisure, and pleasure for work. We have the gods of TV. We have the gods of sports. The gods of laziness. We have so many gods in our life. And so therefore, you need to know that if you're going to do this, how do I do this? I have to make sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice a few minutes of your day and put something away. Put something away and begin to show yourself and your family and your children that God is really this important. That I'm willing to put that over there. That I may spend time with Him. Sacrifice your idols. And then finally, we see here throughout this entire text, Joshua is calling them to a covenant, to a commitment to the Lord for the long haul, for the long journey. Like all of the previous disciplines that we've looked at and the ones we will look at, they will not be mastered overnight and probably will never be mastered, but they will not be mastered overnight. This is not a race. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And thank goodness for God's grace. His grace is sufficient for us. Family worship is going to have heartaches and failures and trials, but God's grace and your faithfulness in the Lord, it will bring you the greatest joy and it will bring you the greatest rewards that you will ever experience on this side of heaven. I promise you, beloved, the time you spend with your children in the Word consistently, and the memories that you will make, and the bond that you will create, and the glory that God will get, will be far greater than any home run your child ever hits, far greater than any promotion you may ever receive, and far greater than any plaque on a wall that your award your kid may win. Commit yourself to the long haul and sit back and be faithful and just enjoy the blessings of the Lord. In closing, I want to leave you with a quote from Matthew Henry, and I think this is amazing. He says, "If therefore our houses be houses of the Lord, we shall for that reason love home, reckoning our daily devotions the sweetest of our daily delights, and our family worship the most valuable of our family comforts. A church in the house will be a good legacy, nay, it will be a good inheritance to be left to your children after you. Or maybe in the words of Jonathan Edwards, let every house be a little church. I pray this is true in your home. I pray this is true in your home. I pray that the fires of revival will start in your home, your little church, and break forth into our church and into our community. And so today, look to the gospel of Jesus Christ to encourage and motivate you to practice the family worship. Plead upon God to fill you with strength and wisdom to be able to be motivated and to be faithful in this discipline. I encourage husbands to lead this charge. Don't let the regrets of past failures and the fear of future failures hinder your worship with your family. Lead the charge in this. And also, family members who are home by themselves, beloved, you are not alone in this. Let us seek the faith family and those that are in your extended family to be a part of one of the greatest delights that you can ever experience in your home. Worship with them. Seek that out, beloved, and you will experience great joy. Let's pray.